Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell explains God's process for growing spiritual fruit in our lives.
Where the real battle is the way we think. If you're fantasizing, fellas, in a time of your career and of your life, you're going to find yourself rationalizing your sin. And ladies, if you find yourself harboring your bitterness and you keep thinking about it and thinking about it, soon you will nurse your resentment to the point that you will imagine you are justified in lashing out and in doing something that's not right.
Every believer has the capacity to bear the fruit of the Spirit. In our series, Fruit Grows Where the Stream Flows, we will learn how to experience the fruit of the Spirit in our daily lives. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you want to learn how to have peace in the midst of a storm, how to keep joy when depression comes, how to practice patience through difficulty, and how to love the unloved, then this series is for you. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called Temperance Grows Where the Stream Flows.
Well, many problems in life are related to what the world would term self-control. And it seems that many struggle in the areas of discipline, and some in obvious areas, drug abuse, some in less obvious areas, their thought life. But oftentimes we would say it seems to be a problem of self-control. It would be wise for us as Christians to do a little more than simply write down goals. And I'm an advocate of writing down goals. And I've been writing down some things I believe the Lord would have for me in my life and for our church. And I believe in writing down goals. And yet, to simply write them down and not be temperate and not be Spirit-filled and Spirit-empowered is really many times an exercise in futility. It's just another depressing act that we go through because we're writing down things that in our own power we're never going to see accomplished. And so it would be very wise tonight to seek the fullness of the Holy Spirit in order that we might possess the strength needed to have that control of self that He brings into our lives in order that we might accomplish the goals we believe He is laying on our hearts. Now, I'm simply saying tonight that without Him, we can do nothing. I'm simply saying tonight that without the fullness of the Spirit, then we're going to write things down and have good intentions, but never see those come to fruition. Now, many people tonight are living lives that are somewhat out of control. And as someone who spends a lot of time with people every day, you see and you hear about difficult situations and you become aware of the fact that some people who outwardly they just look like they've got it all under control, when you really talk to them in their heart, things are pretty messy. The things they think about, the escapist mentality they indulge in, the depressive thoughts that come upon them and sometimes rule over them. The pressures and the circumstances that people experience would indicate that really they are not as in control as they would like to think. And by the way, tonight, that's not such a bad thing if that brokenness and that awareness that you are not in control would bring you to the throne of Jesus Christ and cause you to ask Him to set things back in order. Sometimes becoming overwhelmed and acknowledging it is the first step to revival in your life. And the more we try to handle it our way, and the more we try to manipulate our way, and the more we try to blame someone else, whether it be a spouse or a job or the church even, the fact of the matter is we're not going to come to real victory in our lives until we say, Lord, my life is a mess. And there's some things in my heart or in my life that are out of control. And God, I need Your Holy Spirit's filling so that I might be able to live this life according to Your will. Some folks are overwhelmed with pressures, circumstances, thought life. Others are overwhelmed financially and struggling emotionally. In fact, the Bible says, and there will be many verses mentioned tonight, and jot as many of them down as you'd like. The Bible says in Proverbs 25:28, "He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Think of that. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. And many times we see Christians and they love the Lord and they have the right doctrine, and yet their spirit is not in control and their emotions are not in control. They're living according to the flesh and according to the dictates of sin rather than according to the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's why Paul spoke of the importance of being filled with the Spirit. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:25, "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate." There's our word tonight. Is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself would become a castaway. I can't think of anything sadder than you leading someone to the Lord and 5 or 6 years down the road, you yourself are no longer in church, you yourself are no longer reading the Bible, no longer witnessing, and yet the person you led to the Lord is faithfully reading the Bible, faithfully going on for the Lord. And that's why Paul said, I've got to bring my body into subjection. I've got to be a temperate man in all things, so that lest when I have preached to others, I myself would become a castaway. Listen, I believe parents, we ought to say, I don't want to just say something to my kids that I'm not doing 10 or 20 years from right now. And parents, I understand sometimes it seems like our own kids are more on fire than we are. And if God uses that to be a conviction from time to time, thank Him for godly kids. But let's not let that be the norm. We ought to say, I want to live my life so that my kids will see me still living this way. And I don't want to preach one thing and then become a castaway. And Paul said, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. He was a temperate man. Now tonight I want to speak to you about this fruit, if you will, of temperance. You'll notice it again in Galatians 5:23. It says meekness and then the word temperance. And so three thoughts. First of all, let's look at temperance defined. Temperance defined. Let me give you a quick definition of temperance. It is defined, first of all, as self-control or discretion. Self-control or discretion. Someone that is temperate has self-control. Proverbs 3:21 says, "My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion." A temperate person knows what is best and has the self-control to do what is best. There is good, better, and best. And a temperate person wants to do what God wants for their life, which is always best. A second way of defining the word temperate is to use the word discipline. Discipline. Paul said again there in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 25, "Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things." He was speaking here of the discipline of an athlete, like an Olympic medalist that gets up early every morning and lifts weights or runs the track. These are temperate people. These are disciplined people. And so Paul spoke of the necessity of being a disciplined person. Now you think about it. Every goal that you might have without discipline is nothing. It could be a Bible reading goal. It could be a family time goal. It could be a witnessing goal. It could be a financial goal. It could be a weight loss goal. It could be any one of dozens, but without this spirit fruit of being temperate, then there will be no accomplishment of that goal. Now, we have heard a lot of silly philosophies from secular humanist counselors who would say that we don't need so much discipline. We just ought to be able to do whatever we want to do and question authority, so we're told. And we hear many today with that philosophy, some with that philosophy even regarding child rearing. There was a Cambridge professor named Coleridge who was once talking to a man, and he told this man that he felt it was important for children to be disciplined, not just spanked, but to be trained in the ways of what time to get up and how to be respectful and how to do their work at home and so forth. And the man said that he did not believe that at all. He said he believed that children should just be let go to themselves. They did not need religious instruction. They did not need God being crammed down their throats. They did not need to be told what to do at home. They were just be kind of let alone. And he said we should not do anything with a child's mind that would prejudice their direction. We should not do anything that would force them in a particular direction. And Professor Coleridge said nothing as he heard this man's philosophy. But as they ended their talk, he asked his visitor, he said, "Would you take a moment with me and walk down to the garden?" And so the two of them walked outside the building and they walked out to a garden area. But really what it was just a pile of weeds growing over one over another. In fact, some weeds had overgrown entire trees, for this area where they viewed was not a tended garden at all. In fact, the visitor said to Professor Coleridge, he said, "Why, this is not a garden. This is nothing but a mess. There's nothing but weeds here." And Coleridge said, "You see, I did not wish to infringe upon the liberty of the garden in any way. I was just giving the garden a chance to express itself and to choose its own forms of production." Now, I'm going to tell you right now, Christian or non-Christian, if we just express ourselves in our own way, you will have nothing but a mess in your marriage 6 months from right now. But if you choose to be disciplined by grace, if you choose to be temperate as the Holy Spirit, you see, contrary to popular teaching, the Holy Spirit doesn't just say, "Hey, just live loose and however you want to live." No, someone that's walking in the Spirit will be temperate in all things. There will be a discipline in their life. I'm reading a book right now called Discipline by Grace by Kent Hughes, a tremendous book on how the Holy Spirit nurtures and disciplines and brings discipline into our life. And the Holy Spirit of God wants us to have a disciplined life. And so temperance defined can be defined as a discipline. It can be defined as God's Holy Spirit bringing mastery over the flesh in your life. How many of you recognize that you need God's Holy Spirit to help you master your flesh? You see. And that's why we need the fullness of the Holy Spirit, in order that we might be temperate in all things, or discipline. So temperance defined is that discipline that comes not from me saying, "Oh, I'm not going to eat that," or "I'm not going to listen to that," or "I'm not going to look at that," because I will fail in my flesh. But the Holy Spirit of God can bring a discipline that I could never have brought upon myself. Secondly, I want you to see tonight, temperance displayed. Now, temperance can be displayed in many different venues, but just a few tonight to show us how important temperance is. First of all, we can display temperance in a disciplined physical life. Paul did. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection." A person that is filled with the Holy Spirit will have a discipline, will have a power of God to say no to certain things, to say yes to other things, and physically, you ought to ask for God's help in that area, because He will bring a temperance. He will bring a disciplined physical life. Up in Canada years ago, in fact, 1909, there was a man by the name of Sandy McIntyre who found what has become the famous McIntyre gold mine. In fact, from that single gold mine, there were $230 million of gold ore extracted from that one mine, the Sandy McIntyre mine in Northern Ontario, Canada. The amazing story about the McIntyre mine was that just days after discovering the vein of gold, McIntyre was in town in the gold mining town nearby, and he had the deed to his claim that he had claimed on the mine, and yet he was longing for a drink of alcohol, longing for a drink of alcohol. And a man said, "Hey, I'll give you $25 for that piece of paper in your hand." And McIntyre said, "All right," and he signed the deed over for $25. He traded $230 million for a few drops of alcohol. You say, "That's ridiculous." No, that's how powerful the flesh can be. That's how strong the flesh can be. And there have been times, whether it's alcohol or lust or hatred, when men and women have done things that are indescribable and unthinkable because they are controlled by the flesh rather than the spirit. And so temperance displayed, it can be displayed in the physical life. Secondly, I believe not only a disciplined physical life, but a disciplined speech. I believe that as Christians who are disciplined by grace and filled with the Spirit, then there will be things that we will say and things that we will refrain from saying. And I want you to think of this. There's four areas that I I believe as Christians, we need to resist in the realm of speech. I'll mention them quickly. First of all is lying. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:25, put away lying. And to me, it is irreconcilable to think of someone that is saying they are filled with the Spirit while at the same time lying forth from their mouth. You see, the fact of the matter is that a temperate person will have control in that area. Secondly, is the area of foul communication. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Maybe in this past year, there's been some times where you got ticked off and whoo, out came some foul language. My friend, when that is happening in the life of a Christian, it's not because they are yielded at that particular moment to the Holy Spirit. And so we need to be temperate physically, yes, and temperate in what we say, that we would not say foul language. I think thirdly, a third area to resist is the area of insults. Proverbs 16 says we're to be slow to anger. You ever get around someone that's sarcastic and constantly cutting in their remarks? This would be a person that needs to become temperate in their speech. They need to control what they're saying. Now, how many of you, just be honest about it, how many of you have ever just opened your mouth and inserted your entire shoe at one time? Anybody, or am I the only one? Boy, from time to time, you just think, oh, I can't believe I just said that. And here's four areas: lying, foul language, insults, and here's a fourth area, slander. Slander. Proverbs 10:18 says, the slanderer is foolish. Now, what I'm saying is that when someone is temperate, they're not going to shoot off. Listen, there's thousands of things that you say, well, I just happen to know, and you may know, and they may be true. But a temperate man knows what should be said and what shouldn't be said. And that's what we're talking about, because temperance is discipline, and we need to be disciplined in our physical life. We need to be disciplined in the life of our speech, and that is the fruit of the Spirit. That's why spiritual people are not known for running off at the mouth. And they use their speech for that which is good, Ephesians 4, to the use of edifying or building someone up. In other words, their motto is this: if I don't have anything good to say, I'm not going to say it. Some of you say, man, I wish I could be like that. You can be in the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, there's just some times when to be temperate and to be disciplined, temperate displayed, physical life. How many of you, don't raise your hand, how many of you think, I could use some temperance physically in the new year? In the physical realm. And then in the area of our speech, all of us need temperance in that area. God, give me wisdom. And then here's a third one maybe you haven't thought of. And this one, this is powerful. And I want you to turn in your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I want to share a verse with you. And this third one is to be disciplined in our thoughts. Discipline in our thoughts. And I really believe this is where most of the victory or the losses are taking place in the lives of Christians. And that's in their thoughts. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Paul says we are to be casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity, there's the discipline, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, it's interesting here, the word imaginations, it's from the Greek word logismus, which is from the word from which we derive logic. And this word here, imaginations, is speaking of the reasonings or opinions of the heart. Now, just stop and think for a moment. The Bible says we're to be casting down imaginations, logismus, or the reasonings or opinions of the heart. You see, long before you ever make that wrong decision, you begin to formulate opinions in your heart. Long before you ever cast the first words towards immorality, there are thoughts in the heart. That's why the songwriter, and I wish we'd have that song here sometime, guard your heart. You see, that's what the Bible says, guard your heart, for out of it are the issues of life, ladies and gentlemen. And the Bible says we're to cast down the imaginations, the reasonings or the opinions. When you start to reason why you don't need your wife, and you start to reason why you don't need your Sunday school teacher, you start to reason why you don't need maybe a midweek service or you don't need this or that. Listen, those reasonings, those imaginations need to be cast down. You need to have temperance, the fullness of the Holy Spirit. You see, temperance displayed. It's displayed in our physical life. It's displayed in the way we speak. And listen, where the real battle is the way we think. Cast down those imaginations. If you're fantasizing, fellas, in a time of your career and of your life about what could have been, should have been, let me tell you what's going to happen. You're going to find yourself rationalizing your sin. And ladies, if you find yourself harboring your bitterness that they didn't do this right to me and they didn't do that, and you keep thinking about it and thinking about it, soon you will nurse your resentment to the point that you will imagine you are justified in lashing out and in doing something that's not right. That's why you need to cast down the imaginations. Oh, listen, guard your heart. Guard your heart. Temperance displayed physically. Temperance displayed in what we say. Temperance displayed in what we even think. Let's read that verse together there in verse 5 of 2 Corinthians. Ready? Begin. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought. Hey. Before someone sins, they first meditate on the sin. Before someone commits the act, they think about the act. And so the Bible says we're to bring down those thoughts. The Bible says we're to bring them into captivity. How many of you understand that involves the discipline of the heart that we must have the Holy Spirit's help with if we're going to have victory in the new year? So temperance defined is discipline. Temperance displayed will affect our physical lives. It will affect our speech. It will affect even our thoughts. Now, this has basically been introduction. How many of you are with me so far tonight? All right. Let's move to the third point then. How can we develop this area of temperance? Temperance developed. And this is where I want to give you 7 steps that I trust will help you in the new year. And I'd like to encourage you to write them down. I've obviously written them down, and I'm going to rehearse them in my devotions during this upcoming several weeks. And here's several things that I want to help you with. And I think that they are scripturally based principles that will help you develop in the area of temperance. How can you be temperate? Sometimes I think we have all the doctrine down. Wait a minute. There's a matter of the heart that we've got to obey this year. Temperance. And here we go. 7 quick thoughts that I trust will help you. Letter A. If you're going to be temperate this year, you've got to admit your weakness. Admit your area of weakness. Turn, if you would, to James chapter 1, verse 14. James chapter 1, verse 14. Now, already tonight, if you've been listening to this Bible study message, perhaps a few thoughts have come to your mind that you need to work with. And I don't think we need to go around telling everybody what that may be, but the Holy Spirit maybe is telling you already something, an area that perhaps in the new year He wants to help you have victory in. James 1:14 says, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren." Now, here's the pattern. First, there is lust, which produces sin, which produces death. Lust is the issue of the heart. Sin is the act carried out, and death is the result. Maybe death to a relationship, maybe death to the numbness of your own heart, maybe even a literal physical death of someone's life. Sin always produces death. It did with Cain and Abel. It did with Adam and Eve. It did in the life of Saul. And throughout the course of history, we see that lust produces sin, which produces death spiritually and sometimes physically. Now, our flesh wants to take the path of least resistance. And so we must recognize and admit the area where our flesh struggles. If it's in the area of wrong thoughts, if it's in the area of physical desire, if it's in the area of perhaps living a lifestyle that is against the Word of God, then we've got to stop right now. We've got to admit the weakness. And by the way, all of us tonight should have an area, if we're honest, where we say, I need help in this area.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California.
This broadcast is a listener-supported program that exists because of prayers and donations from people just like you. If you make a donation to Daily in the Word, Pastor Chappell would like to send you a copy of his newest book, Paid in Full, as a thank you for your support of our ministry. Thank you for your help in spreading the good news throughout the world.
We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for nearly 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message. Connect with us and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.